Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
What we're doing when a fat boy's slipping, everyone. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Manchester City take a huge step towards the title and Watford have relegated. It's Monday 9th of May. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Madhusha Nahantaraja.
Hello, everybody. Happy Monday. It's the start of the working week, Jim Campbell.
It is.
Uh-huh. It is. Vitusha Nahantaraja, it's good to see you, brother. The last time I saw you, or an image of you, was a photo with your head in your hands in our WhatsApp group.
Yeah, good. Straight in there. Lovely stuff. Nice to be back.
Yeah. Right in the kidney.
I know. Well, like, and I've already lost the other kidney. Uh-huh.
But now that you've sobered up,
out.
It's good to see you smiling again. Before we get to all that kind of stuff, gentlemen, I want to take us straight to the top of the Premier League. Actually, more accurately, the second position in the Premier League. It belongs to Liverpool at the moment, and they drop points at home to Tottenham Hotspur. We said on Friday, we asked the question, the pressing question that no one else was asking, could that game derail Liverpool's title bid? Yeah.
I don't know why no one else covered it.
And again, we were at the forefront of football.
I don't know what they were playing at.
But yeah, Liverpool drew just for the second time in their last 15 games. And Jurgen Klopp, Jim, he said before the match, he said that Son has a, you know, a GPS sort of thing where he'd be attacking, counter-attacking football and all that kind of weird stuff. And he was proved to be right.
Yeah.
If only they could have planned for it.
Well, indeed. Yeah, he was very angry that Spurs set up to not lose.
They were interesting quotes.
Yes, very much so. I'm sure we're going to come on to those. But it was relatively predictable because Spurs are so good on the break. It felt like it was going to have to be a case of Liverpool just asserting their firepower and using it really, really well. But, you know, Conte is no mug, is he? He knows, he knew exactly what he was getting into. And we mentioned on Friday as well that Spurs get up for these games and that they focus really, really well. And that's the thing. If you don't do that against, I mean, we saw with Newcastle, a slightly different situation, obviously, but if you lose a bit of focus, you will just get ripped to pieces. But they get themselves up for these games and they perform in them. And it really does feel like that could mean it's City's title. Now, I know there is the potential for a couple of, you know, twists and turns yet, especially with, you know, old Stevie G's involvement. Everyone's wanting that narrative to play out.
The kingmaker.
Indeed. But it's going to be really, really tough now, I think.
Well, I think it was City already tough.
Yeah.
People forget that Man City, well, maybe they don't forget, but Manchester City were a point ahead of Liverpool. Obviously, this makes it even tougher with the goal difference, blah, 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 as you say. But yes, yeah, so on those Jurgen Klopp comments about the way Spurs play. He said, I don't like this kind of football, but that is my problem. I cannot coach it. I think they're world class and I think they should do more for the game. And we obviously elaborated on that as well.
The idea that Spurs are generally some sort of like Stoke City facsimile is just...
Well, the thing is...
It's silly, isn't it?
You can take this... You can sort of hammer Klopp a bit for this, but then you can also think, well... Yeah, he was a little bit prickly, but you can see he's going back and forth, isn't he? He's so frustrated. And he thinks to himself, oh, if I had that, I'd probably do it. I understand why they do it. And you can just see it playing out in his own mind.
So that's exactly what I got from the video of those quotes. He was, you know, sometimes managers get into that situation, and obviously a lot of people were saying, oh, it's really funny when he loses because he loses all sense of decorum. And I was like, well, no, he's just a manager in the moment at the sharp end of football. Mm-hmm. Like people are going to be prickly like that. Mm-hmm.
It's as we've said before, isn't it? You have a frustrating situation like that, then you're immediately wheeled out to justify yourself to a nerd.
That's right.
Which is probably quite annoying.
the thing I did, well, I suppose the other aspect of it is like, you know, he's just playing to the gantry of Liverpool fans who would have been frustrated as him and they almost kind
of... You mean everybody?
Everyone. He was just playing to everyone in the world. He was a bit like playing Rock the Casbah at a wedding. Yeah. That's what Klopp was doing. But it is quite funny that he was having a go at how they play. And if Spurs didn't play like that, then Liverpool wouldn't be in this title race because they took 6 points off Man City.
Right. And you're absolutely right. And of course, Tottenham Hotspur are very much in contention for finishing top four and have a lot to play for. So if one can forget that Tottenham are trying to win this football match. Yeah. They're trying to stop one of the best sides in the world who are going for a quadruple. So you don't just turn up to their house and go, I suppose we're going to have to play open and attacking football or something like that. You play to your strengths.
Yeah, I mean, we are the guests here, so...
You tell us what to do, we'll take our shoes off before we get on the pitch if you want.
It does happen more in football than most other sports, I suppose, because... You know, you can tailor your, you know, how you play to for each game, essentially. But the funny thing is that, you know, in its way, it is a compliment to Liverpool. Liverpool can't be pasting teams left, right and centre with, you know, the best front three in Europe and then come to a game where people are scared of them.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
And be like, oh, you cowards, let us kill you.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And that's the thing, that Spurs played it very, very well.
The other thing we should, just very quickly, the thing about Spurs as well, and that Jim touched on there, is to carry out that kind of procedure as well, because it has to, you know, there's a precision to it.
Totally, yeah.
Everyone's got to be on the same page. Mm-hmm. Everyone has to be on their game. The only person I thought who was probably a little bit off colour was Harry Kane. Mm. But it has to be a total buy-in from absolutely everyone.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And I think that's a point that's often missed with these things, because what Spurs did at Anfield, lots of teams have tried to do that. Yeah. But because Liverpool are so good, they don't let them. And so actually...
So they never realise it's even happening.
Exactly. Yeah. And a lot of respect, they turned up and then Liverpool turned them over. Whereas, as you say, Vish, you know, Spurs, they stuck to their task very, very well. And they bloody well could have won it right at the death. With Højbjerg, I was like, why are you passing? I mean, okay, if you're going to pass it, make sure you bloody, you know, don't give it away. So, I mean, Conte said, you know, his players came off the pitch at the end and he said there was disappointment there. And understandably so, because it was a deflected goal. They denied Liverpool that space in the centre. They played it very well. Put them out wide, because Liverpool started to just put balls into the box.
Really, like, un-Liverpool balls.
Yes,
no,
not Trent Alexander-Arnold.
Because
he normally plays them from... He's coming out from the sort of a defensive right-back position, and it's not really a... It's a pass in behind
it's
the defenders.
Yeah, it's always to someone.
Yes.
Whereas that was a bit hit and hope, I suppose.
Yeah.
And the other thing about...
They don't have a Chris Wood up there.
They do not, do they? Yeah. The thing about the deflected goal was, it felt like, you know, just probability and effect, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
If you block so many shots... then one shot you're not going to block well enough. And that was
well,
that.
Well,
Klopp
kind of claimed that, didn't he? I do agree with what he said, but he quite beautifully sort of spun that when they said, oh, you know, it was a deflected goal. And he said, well, that's why we have the shots, to make sure the deflections, we have a chance of the deflection or something. And I thought, very interesting, kind of quite eloquent way of putting that.
It worked
really.
For Frank Lampard.
It always worked for old Frankie Lampard. But they
who
have...
only scored deflected goals. Yes,
so unfair.
I don't believe that's revisionist at all, actually, Marcus. I don't believe you know what you're talking about.
Well, highest scoring midfield in Premier League history, all of them deflected.
Yes, every single.
A couple of dubious own goals
well,
in there.
I mean, if the dubious goals panel was around when he was playing, he wouldn't have half of them. So there we are. We're joking, of course. I am anyway, at least. But yeah, so they've dropped points. A shame for them. You could also say that Spurs dropped points in their hunt for Champions League. Although, you know, again, going away to Anfield a bit again before the game, you take a point, et cetera, et cetera. So there we are. But Manchester City beat Newcastle 5-0.
They really did beat them as well, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
That a paddling.
The two late goals as well. You could see the delight in Guardiola's eyes and his
you
double
fist. You can see so much in those eyes, can't you?
A lot. He really isn't a good actor, is he? Do you think he thinks he's a good actor in those interviews when he's like, no, you know, we're so happy. We just know you're not.
But no, I genuinely just, I don't think he cares.
No, I don't think he cares.
Because none of that matters to him. He gets he'll say his thing and move, and he's so isolated from that it doesn't matter if we all laugh about it on Twitter or in here.
Yeah,
like,
no.
He's totally like on a different plane.
Well, I do respect it as well on some level, because actually, if he does want to just have rant and rave and he's just going, no, we're fine, whatever, you know, there's discipline there, you know, because you can't shoot your mouth off all the time, even though it would make it more entertaining for us.
I don't think he's insincere, though. I think he's just very, very intensely focused on a lot of different aspects of things. And I think when he says, like, we're so, so happy, all that stuff, I think he does mean it.
So when he said everyone in this country supports Liverpool, the media, everyone, and then he said, but that doesn't really
bother
me.
He's been here long enough to know that isn't true.
Yeah, I mean, of course there's a lot of pundits that are former Liverpool players. Yeah. You know, Mourinho made this comment in his first stint, I think, at Chelsea. He's definitely made those comments before Mourinho has. But, I mean, of course, Liverpool often suggest that, you know,
everyone hates them, but everyone hates them. It's a siege mentality,
which comes from
a
different place. I understand, but then you know, it's a bit like a friend of mine who's a Newcastle fan was claiming that everybody now hates Newcastle because of the ownership and blah blah blah.
Yeah,
and I was like,
but I was not unreasonable.
Well, careful, because you sound like Chelsea and Man City fans. Yeah. Now. Do you know what I mean?
But everyone does hate them because of the ownership, though.
But the problem is though, you get into a point where it's like, well, if you hate most of the teams, you then, is it the special treatment is for the teams you don't know? Like, it just kind of eats itself.
The only justification would be like Darth Vader being like, well, everyone hates us at the Death Star. We're always talking about it. We've seen the stuff you write about us. But the thing I will say to defend Klopp, even though it kind of contradicts what I said before about him being on a different plane and being able to ignore all this, is that I did get a sense, and I'll be honest, like for me as well, that for the running sake, basically, I was kind of willing this, a slight Man City drop off, replete with a Liverpool side coming into their own and picking up results at the end of the season.
Mm-hmm. We want a big last day, right?
Yeah,
so match of the day, do that thing where they stitch it all together.
Yes.
And you watch every game in real time.
Jim, the thing is, the goal difference is crucial, because if it goes to the last day and you have a situation where Liverpool need to beat Wolves 5-0 and they need Villa to beat Man City, then it's probably, you know, unless, you know, Bristol Rovers turn up and help them out or something, it's unlikely to happen.
We're going to find out on that last day of the season who really supports Liverpool. And it's going to be Steven Gerrard in that Villa dugout. Instead of bellowing instructions, just shouting, "You'll never walk alone."
Yeah, absolutely right. But yeah, I know what you mean. It would be interesting. But of course, a lot of people have said this, but, you know, Aston Villa, they really could do Liverpool and Coutinho and Gerrard, et cetera, et cetera. So, hopefully we get a good last day, because because that's what we like. But Man City, they are weakened defensively now. Diaz is out for the season. Walker and Stones are also out for the remainder. They should have enough against the teams they play, of course, because they're one of the best teams in the world. But we shall see. At the other end of the table, Watford are down. They lost 1-0 to Crystal Palace. Kamara was sent off. 22 points for the season. Yeah. That's piss poor.
The whole season's been a real, it's just not been good enough, has it?
No.
And not just on the pitch. You know, the three different managers. There's an article in The Athletic today saying that Claudio Ranieri was often getting players' names wrong. There's this whole situation where a lot of the fans are upset with Roy Hodgson because he did a lap of honour, didn't he? Waving to the Palace fans and didn't acknowledge the Watford end. And then he said, unfortunately, they were a bit too far away. It's like, Roy, come on, mate. Come on.
He's quite old.
So bad.
He's quite old.
So bad.
Sorry, the thing about that is it wasn't quite a lap of honour. That's how you walk out at Palace.
Right.
Sorry, that's how you walk out.
I know what you mean. Yeah, I think this lap of honour was...
But he was obviously getting cheers because, you know, he's retiring and he was, you know, a bit of a Palace legend and whatever from that part of London.
CBE.
Yeah, and I was a bit like, okay, I wonder if this is just like a Twitter thing going a bit.
Yeah.
All right. And then he said that, and I was like, you idiot.
Yeah.
That's so insincere.
Yeah.
And I know we give him a lot of love on here.
No, you're right. Yeah.
He's done a bad job there, and he has done a bad job. Mm-hmm. And that is just, that's a bit out of order, I think.
I think it's a great shame that's probably the last time we'll see him as a manager walking out of a football stadium or walking off the pitch, if you like, as a manager. And what should have happened was, as you say, go over to acknowledge the Watford fans. And then the Palace fans say, look, we remember what you did. Mm-hmm. And the Palace Twitter feed did say, you know, congratulations to Roy Hodgson with his recent honouring and so on.
It's almost certainly just the sort of, you know, he's not thought about it in the moment. He's not thought about how it looks. It's not a deliberate snub or anything, is it? But I think it speaks to a sort of the wider problem at Watford, isn't it? Which is that, I mean, there's not been much fight from the team. There doesn't seem to be much pride. And I don't think there is much pride at Watford because everything always seems temporary.
Well, Ben Foster's comments were very telling when he said, you know, some players here, you know, they'll try for 60 minutes, maybe 70 minutes, and then it'll go and so on. It's like, you know, that, they are the comments of someone who's, you know, in the twilight of their career. You've already relegated. Who cares? Yeah. You know, the turnover of players.
Well, it's the same with the managers. Three managers this season. Of course, they're not engaged. They know they're not going to be there for that long.
And that's the other thing. You know, you touched on it there just now, but there's no attachment from top to bottom.
No.
There is no sense that, like, oh, I want to do well for this club. People come in and basically use it as a waiting room for bigger and better things or moves elsewhere.
Or a payday.
Yeah, or a payday. And... You know, it happens with the managers, and it's. I think we spoke about this near the start of the season when they had their first managerial change, where we were like, "It's all right to operate like this, but at some point, it's just going to filter through to everyone, isn't it?" And so, you know, the players are going to have that, and I think it's not necessarily Roy's. You know, it's not necessarily all on Roy Hodgson, but Roy Hodgson probably has come into that club, sends the bit of. Disenfranchisement, disenfranchisement, and also a lack of connection, and has inadvertently, give them the benefit of that, has inadvertently played into it there by not even going to the fans on the day they were relegated.
And Hodgson, the way his methods work is everyone has to buy into it. I know you could say that about any manager, and I'm not saying, look, Hodgson, I think. At the time, I thought, that's not a bad appointment. It's proved not to be a good appointment because, you know, if he hasn't galvanised...
Too much to do in 2 minutes.
22 points. I mean, come on. Yeah. It's sadly not good enough. But it's good news for the other teams around them. And we talk about Everton next because...
They play Watford soon. If Watford win that game...
Yeah, well...
My God.
Yeah, absolutely right. Everton, though, with another victory away to Leicester City. I know Leicester... You know, maybe a little bit jaded after going out against Roma in the Europa Conference League and so on. But it's a fantastic result for Everton. I mean, it's just their second away win of the season, but it is consecutive league wins for the first time since September. And what a goal to get them going, Jim.
Beautiful. That's what you need, isn't it? It's a little bit of magic almost that makes you think, you know what? The luck might be turning, might be coming our way. It's beautiful.
It's
beautiful,
a wow
execution.
Sensation goal, according to the commentator, which I think we can all agree. But, you know, Lampard, I mean, and the funny thing is actually is that Everton then had a chance to go 2-0 up, which they didn't take. And then up the other end, seconds later, Daka scores. After a ridiculous defensive mix-up from was it Mina and Coleman?
Mm.
And you think to yourself, you know, their heads could have dropped, but they get themselves back into it and Holgate gets the goal. Holgate, who, according to Lampard, the day before the match was ill and didn't actually travel with the team. He travelled separately to the hotel, I think. And he told Lampard on the day, I'm playing this game. And Lampard said, that's the attitude that will help them survive. And I thought, what, the player's telling you what to do?
You know. Would you? Yeah, well, this is part of Lampard's, you know, deflected brand of management, isn't it?
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough.
Well, I think he's done pretty well.
He has turned this around. You have to say, because this could have been like, if it could, you have to give the manager credit, because you can say, oh well, they're suddenly realising, you know, they've got a bit of quality. Unlike, they've got much more quality than, say, Watford and Burnley and Leeds. Okay,
yeah. But you still have to draw it out.
But you've got to draw it out, because you're a big club with a demanding support and everybody looking around. That can quickly turn sour.
Part of the situation is of his own making, though. It also needs to be acknowledged. He's essentially undoing some of the underwhelming work that has happened up to now under him. So well, I mean,
they dropped quite a lot under Benitez.
Yeah, I mean,
the reason he was there was because it was
absolutely. So, but I think he needed to get them going quicker than he had done. So, you know, yes, he's doing well to turn it around now, but it's the whole season's been hairier than it needs to be, I think.
Okay. Well, he's got Jordan Pickford to thank as well.
Yeah, he was fantastic.
Which he has thanked. And Lampard said of his goalkeeper, Jordan gives the team huge confidence. He's not just England's number one, but one of the top goalkeepers in the world. For some reason, you don't always get the recognition you deserve as England's number one. Vitushin.
I mean, he's not one of the top goalkeepers in the world. He's a very good goalkeeper.
So you disagree with Frank again?
Yeah.
I'm not saying
one of the top goalkeepers in the Euros final, mate.
I think that
he was the top two, wasn't he?
That quote and these Jordan Pickford performances, it is one in the eye for you, Vish, isn't it?
It's not, because I never said that he was shit. I just said that there was a question to be asked about. No, I mean, fair enough. Why don't we have the England goalkeeper as someone who's in a relegation battle, rather than the other one who's about to play in the Champions League next season? Perfectly fine. Let's do that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Who's a trophy on the weekend, didn't you, Marcus? With your little football team. Why don't you have your goalkeeper in there?
Why not? Eh.
Yeah.
Man, Tom would do a fine job.
Tom's probably a top goalkeeper.
He is top.
You wouldn't
top,
slag him off,
he's
would
a top goalkeeper.
There you go.
I'm going to quote exploding heads.
Get him in. Get him on the plane.
Look,
take him to Qatar. Take Tom to Qatar then.
Yeah, well, if I get a pass to Qatar, then I'm taking you all with me. But you've got to give Pickford credit, though, haven't you, Vish?
Yeah. No, he was brilliant.
He was
very good on the weekend. Yeah, he's actually been. He was very good for the Chelsea game as well. Actually,
yes.
I feel like he's calmed down a little bit, because there were times yesterday where I thought he's going to kick off. He made a brilliant save, you know, diving to his left with his top right hand, and it was prime for one of those get up and shout at everyone because the camera's going to be on me. And he didn't quite do that. I thought he was quite measured, and I wonder if that's something that Lampard has been able to have a word with him and say, you know what, just like
Keep chill.
Say exactly what you're saying.
Keep focused.
Don't shout at people.
Yeah, maybe that's right. Yeah, well, Everton, as you said, Jim, they go to Watford on Wednesday, and if they win that, they would have a chance to go 4 points clear of Leeds and Burnley. Mm-hmm. Bearing in mind, they were 5 points for safety not that long ago. So
I'm not saying Lampard doesn't deserve credit, by the way.
All right, Jim. I think
he just won all his goals taken away from him.
I think you've said enough on this.
I think
a lot of his
goals are actually assists from himself.
Was he getting the assist and the goal?
No, just the assist.
Oh, okay. Right, I see what you mean. Well, Jim, you were at Arsenal yesterday, of course. They beat...
Part of me still there.
Leeds United 2-1. Dearie me. I mean, Leeds are in trouble. There's no two ways about that. But really, Arsenal 2-0 up after 10 minutes, Leeds down to 10 men. Why on earth are Arsenal hanging on at the end of that game?
I walked home from that game feeling like both we'd lost it and that I'd played in it. It was...
How did you do?
Oh, God. I let everyone down quite badly. Dan.
I let him down.
Dan quite badly. But, it was a very, very unnecessarily stressful end to that game. I mean, what's been forgotten about it is Arsenal were fantastic in the first half. Even when it was 11 against 11, they really, really asserted themselves, and Leeds didn't really know what to do. And the concern for me is that... obviously, conceding a silly goal from a corner is something Arsenal used to do a lot. I think it might even be only the second goal Arsenal have conceded from a set piece this season. So they've been really, really good on that. So that little wobble concerns me. And it was the loss of control. The shape went a little bit. The press went a little bit. The nerves started to settle in. I always think the nerves are... worse in the stands than they are on the pitch.
Probably.
And that's probably the case there, but it was a nervy end. But ultimately, all that mattered was winning.
The loss of control was Luke Ayling-esque, I would say, from Arsenal. Jesse Marsh, though, said that his side must now fight for their lives to escape the drop. I mean, they had a new manager bounce when he first came in. But really, the situation is looking quite drastic for Leeds United. You know, they're now 18th. Their goal difference is shocking. They're on 34 points, same as Burnley, of course. You know, Everton have got their tails up. Burnley, okay, were beaten by Aston Villa quite soundly. It was one of Villa's best performances, certainly away from home this season. But Leeds United, you know, like when Marsh came in, you know, obviously he was slightly derided for being American and all that kind of silly stuff. But he looked quite good. Whereas now, Fish, you look at them and you think they're on their way to the Championship.
Yeah, I mentioned it on Friday, and it was to be honest, it was a bit anecdotal in terms of when I've watched them recently. They do look like they're trying to adhere to a better structure, but they're just not able to, you know, do anything going forward. It's quite unleads to get your goal from a set piece. I think it was only their second shot on goal, and only their second shot in the box. And it just feels like they've lost that cutting edge.
Yeah,
which is, you know, this is the time of the season where you need goals. You can't nil-nil your way to safety, especially now Leeds are in this situation.
Leeds
can't get the nil anyway. So you kind of feel like they need some, you know, it'd be interesting to see what they do against Chelsea in midweek, but you almost kind of think that, actually, mate, just take the leash off. Like, I know it's easier said than done, especially, you know, from the position we're sat in now, to tell players, look, you know what? Don't worry about getting relegated. Just attack. For the last, you know, few games of the season, just attack. So I think it's going to be a real test of his management, specifically his man management that people lauded before he took the job.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of work on his hands in the next couple of weeks, and it might be irredeemable, really.
Yeah. Leeds have also set a record for the most yellow cards in a single Premier League season, by the way. 96.
Yeah.
I mean, that is Bielsa-esque. If you hear about his sides in Argentina. So, yes, all to play for down the bottom of the Premier League. All right, everybody, let's have a quick break.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
So
So it's fair to say that we've had some pretty big debates down the years on the Football Ramble. Can Gerrard and Lampard play in the same midfield? Will England win the World Cup in our lifetime? And why haven't Newcastle won a trophy for 50 years? That's a bigger one for this show, I think.
They're not really debates, just no, and have you seen them?
I think
them?
We all know why, yeah. Well, to celebrate the release of the new McSpicy from McDonald's and the big hashtag McSpicy debate on Twitter, we're here to wrestle with a big question of our own. It's the most basic thing about football, but it raises very important questions. Is scoring a goal the best thing about football, Jim Campbell?
Yes, it is. But, right, it's the best thing about every game, isn't it? Obviously, but I think the things that contend with it are the final whistle when your team's won a really, really big game or a really tight game, important game, whatever that game may be. But also, you can't count that because that's not football. That goes from being football to not football at the final whistle. So I think your keeper saving a penalty is right up there. Because it's much rarer.
I like that, yes.
So I was thinking about alternatives to how good a scored goal is. And I was played as a defender when I was an amateur, enthusiastic footballer.
Right.
And I always think that, you know, the closest thing you realistically get to a defender scoring a goal regularly or whatever is a really big sliding tackle that you do well and it's wet.
Yeah.
And or clearing one off the line.
Clearing off the line's great.
Yes. I'm thinking manager slipping over.
Very good, yeah.
That's never not funny, yeah. Oh, people, you remember when they used to take people off on stretchers, right, back in the day?
Dropping
like
it.
Old school, just one of them just dropping the stretcher.
Yeah. So basically you're talking about proper harm being befallen people to harm. Even though I said the thing about the goal line clearance, you go home to your friends or to your significant other or whatever and go, oh yeah, I had a great game today, I cleared one off a line. They don't really care.
No.
They want to know if you've scored a goal or not.
Yeah.
Not even assist, is it?
No, God, exactly. I wasn't even on the pitch for 60 minutes.
Pete, what about, because you obviously get subbed in to be a goalkeeper, don't you, on your
I think saving a free kick, because saving free kicks at amateur level, quite easy really, isn't it? because no one's very good at them.
Is that the best you can muster?
Have you saved a penalty as a deputy goalkeeper?
No, never saved a penalty as a deputy.
Have you faced a penalty?
I've faced a few.
Have you given some away yourself?
I know. Oh, my God. I've hacked people down the area, as have you, Lukey Moore. Well, that's not the only spicy debate that's been happening here at Ramble HQ. The new McSpicy is from McDonald's. 100% chicken breast fillet in a spicy marinade and crispy coating. The key question we're here to find out, though, is how spicy is the McSpicy? I'm going to let you through the curtain. Luke Moore could not wait for the recording. Add a little chomp chomp. Before we started going, what do you reckon, Luke?
They said to me, can you come in and do a record today? I said, I'm very busy. They said it's for the McSpicy, so I'll be there in 10 minutes. And I ate mine already.
He's wearing his pyjamas.
We had to slightly abandon the recording because I actually found it quite spicy. I needed to go and get a drink. So for me, it was quite a bit more spicy than I thought it was going to be. I bloody enjoyed it.
Because I find a lot of stuff you can buy on the high street and in your fast food stores, they say they're spicy, but they're never that spicy.
Exactly. This one is actually genuinely quite spicy. Jim, do you agree or are you saying it's all right?
Well, I've just taken my first bite of it. And I appreciate it is the first bite, but it's mild.
It's spicier than I was expecting. No, it ramps up. I had my bite 3 seconds before you, so welcome to Flavor Town, mate. Welcome to Pain Town. It's good, man.
It's good. It's got that tingle.
Yeah,
I like that. It's so far, it's not too spicy for me, and I'm not someone who eats a huge amount of spicy food.
It's getting hotter. I'm going to scream for 3 minutes.
I love McDonald's anyway, and I also love spicy food, so for me it's a great
idea, isn't it?
Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic.
It's all been leading up to this moment.
So how spicy is it for you? Get yourself a McSpicy from McDonald's now to find out and join the hashtag McSpicy debate on Twitter. We've all had one. It's delicious. It's a 100% chicken breast fillet in a spicy marinade and crispy coating. Available in stores from 11 a.m. at participating restaurants, subject to availability until the 7th of June.
Now, a well-placed source has told me that you celebrated the win over Borussia Dortmund in the dressing room by doing an impression of Chris Kamara. Is that right?
Unbelievable, Jeff. Unbelievable, Jeff.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Right, before we go any further, let's see how we got on in Betway's 4 to Score. Entry to Betway's 4 to Score is free each week. Pick the first goal scorer in Betway's 4 selected matches for your chance to win the weekly £50,000 jackpot. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. Further T's and C's apply. In game 1, Arsenal versus Leeds United, Jim picked Eddie Nketiah. It was Eddie Nketiah! Yes. Well done, Jim. Eddie. You played your part. Game 2, Leicester versus Everton.
Vish picked James Maddison. It was, of course, Vitali Michalenko. In game three, Norwich versus West Ham, Andy picked Timo Pukki. It was Said Benrahma. In game four, Manchester City versus Newcastle United, I picked Kevin De Bruyne. It was Raheem Sterling. One out of four. So we didn't do it. We'll be back with another round of Four to Score on the preview show this Friday, where we hope to get all four this time, which will be the first time we would do it. All right, everybody, it's time for emails. Showwithfootballramble.com. Showwithfootballramble. Send your email. Showwithfootballramble. More fun than you can handle. Showwithfootballramble.com. Showwithfootballramble.com. Showwithfootballramble. Send your email. Showwithfootballramble. More fun than you can handle. Showwithfootballramble.com.
Lovely stuff. Nathan has been in touch on the subject of Tom Cruise's infamous trip to Birmingham.
Oh.
As a Birmingham native, I'd love to shed some light on Tom Cruise's infamous visit to our interesting city. For my birthday this year, we visited the Ashes Curry House, which, by the way, is ridiculously expensive and bankrupted us poor uni students. However, on the wall, they do proudly display Mr. Cruise with a chicken tikka masala, and next to that is another picture of them serving him a second one, with the first one completely finished, also in the photo. It could be fake. He doesn't really do impossible missions. It could be fake. However, a much more interesting tale from his trip was the fact that Tom's BMW was stolen from right outside his hotel, along with thousands of pounds worth of his belongings. The car was later recovered nearby to West Brom Stadium, with all the contents missing. Cruise was asked at the airport whether he'd ever come back to Birmingham and allegedly replied, "Only if the people here change their lives."
Oh, wow.
I can't really blame him. That's Nathan saying that, not me.
Poor Tom. That's a shame. He's had a bad experience of Birmingham.
He has, yeah.
A city that you're very fond of, Jim. You spent a bit of time there.
I went to uni there for 3 months.
Well,
that's
done.
Another story.
Yeah. And why did you leave? Was it because the people did change their lives?
I was chased out, yeah. Oh, right.
He chased out of Birmingham. Yeah, yeah. Much like Tom Cruise.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I sympathise. It happens.
We mentioned this before. Like, he's always runs in his movies.
Exactly, yeah.
That's very, very.
He shouldn't have had a car.
Well, if you've spotted Tom Cruise in your home city, then get in touch. Show at footballramble.com or tweet us at footballramble. Of course, get your questions in for Pep Talks this Wednesday. Right, everybody. Let's turn our attention to some proper football men before we go back to the Premier League. We heard about Steve Hodge selling Diego Maradona's shirt last week. Peter Shilton's finally had his say on the matter. He said at the weekend...
He's always a bit late when Maradona's on the scene, isn't
he?
He said at the weekend, "I wouldn't even use it around the house, not even to clean the dishes in my bungalow." I love the fact he specified bungalow. Because he can't get up the stairs. He can't reach the... Shilton also said, "If myself and a few of the other players had known Hodgie had his shirt in the dressing room, then it wouldn't have made it out. In the heat of the game, it would have been ripped up into 1,000 pieces." And I bet Hodgie is happy now we didn't do that. Yes, I'm sure he's absolutely delighted because he's got a few million quid in his pocket. "He knew what he was doing when he didn't tell us he had it. I'm just glad one Englishman has got something out of the game." He said, "We've had the last laugh, though. It's poetic justice for being cheated out of that World Cup because the shirt's not going back to Argentina." Yeah.
Oh, I thought because he was dead.
He probably does mean that, though, doesn't he? He probably does mean that.
"We've got the last laugh because we're still alive."
So it feels to me like he's honed all these lines.
"I've seen his funeral. He'll never see mine." These are stuff that he didn't say. We're just imagining him saying it, everybody, just to be clear.
Bet he doesn't have a bungalow. Yeah.
Down in hell.
But it feels to me like Shilton's honed all these lines at the sort of like backslapping after dinner speaking events that like ex-footballers go to over the years. And like, obviously, probably when he does that sort of thing there, he'll get a big cheer, won't he? People will be like, "Yay!" So he probably thinks that like everybody thinks like that. He's had this sort of behaviour reinforced in a positive way. And does he think he sounds cool?
It's such a shame.
It's just so embarrassing.
But this is often when former footballers go on to do or say or act in silly ways. You forget about their career, or you're unaware of their career, because Shilton was one of the finest goalkeepers this country has produced. In fact, you know, you could even argue he's the greatest English goalkeeper. You could argue that he's one of the best players England have ever produced. Mm. You know, he's a phenomenal player. Like, you know, how many caps has he got at international level? He was the leading, you know, cap holder for England for a long time. Bloody, bloody, blah. And now this.
Yeah.
Like on that, or rather, you know, you saying about him being one of the greatest goalkeepers England have had. It's quite unedifying that he's even wading into this at all.
But it feels like this is his legacy, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
And he's made this bitterness his legacy rather than the caps and rather than the
quality. Have you seen the photos?
But the thing is, though, he could make it humorous. Do you know what I mean? He could actually not say anything. And when asked, he kind of goes, well, you know, at least an Englishman got something out of the game.
Well, maybe,
like, maybe that was the tone. It's hard to tell, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. This is the other thing about that. Yeah. It's
those who have read his autobiography, I'm not sure. Anyway, well, there we are.
I like the idea that, like, he made it...
Thermos head.
You'll never get the last laugh, Pete. You'll never get the last laugh. Yeah.
Right, I might be in hell, mate. We don't need a thermos down here.
Oh dear. Right then, let's move on, or we can move back to the Premier League, shall we? Don't celebrate it too much. We are England fans, Jim. But we weren't then because we were too young to know what was going on, just as well. Brighton 4, Manchester United 0, lol.
Oh, I forgot we were going to get to do this.
Brighton's biggest ever top flight
win.
It's
not even in the first half.
It's their biggest ever
it's
top flight
It's not even in the first half. Look what's happened to us.
In their history.
It's not even in the first half.
Yeah.
I sympathise, mate. I really do.
This is like, we're not going to show a match today. Press the red button. If you want to watch these clowns get pasted by the Seasiders, whatever they call themselves. Good old Sussex by the sea.
Yeah. Such a knob. 4-0, an absolute battery.
You wouldn't be saying this if she was here.
No, of course not. And of course, all the goals were scored within an hour. And actually, Brighton could have won by 5 or 6.
They should have. I thought about speaking to Man United. I people get very bored about United fans complaining. You don't really, need to turn to us for this. But there was a moment when they scored the third where I was like, I'm just not going to watch it now. And I thought, you know what? No, I should. And they should have had 8. Yeah. And the only reason they didn't get more is because they took their foot off the gas.
Do you think that's what Potter is? Is a fine club, you know? Let's ease off on the goals, lads.
Don't say that. That's worse.
Yeah, I know. It's very patronising.
Because if we beat them too badly, we can't smash them again next season. So just keep some in your back pocket.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that's probably what it is.
I think, like, is there something particularly damning about the opposition enjoying it so much against you that they're like crying? Because they're enjoying how much they're tearing you apart.
Well, Cucurella,
that has to be a zenith, doesn't it?
Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, no, but did his interview afterwards? Did we see that?
It was lovely.
Incredible.
It was beautiful,
and it was, just to speak of his specific situation, it's a situation that many people aren't. Either aren't aware of or don't care about because they're footballers doing their dream job, as in the dream of the people, us watching it, and getting paid well to do it. But his voice as he was relaying this was, especially given that you could not tell any of that by the way he's played for Brighton.
No.
He's given himself, wholeheartedly to the team. He has been one of their best players of the season, one of the most consistent players of the season.
He's been phenomenal.
Bear in mind, they haven't had it,
Every time you talk to a Brighton fan, they will often single him out.
But you watch him and he's only got one speed, and that's top speed.
Yeah.
And so, the way he took their goal, the way he was, just all over anything United tried to do.
His first goal for the club, is that right?
Yeah, it was, yeah. Which is why he was so emotional.
The way he took it, it's a bit like, probably pass it to him a bit more in that position. But you're right, though. I think it's one of those ones for a club who are regarded as a smaller club in the Premier League. I think it's understandable. But when they perhaps... especially some of their individual players, don't get the kudos and the recognition that they deserve. And so I think it was lovely that not only was it a phenomenal result for Brighton, a real marquee result, you could say, but, one of their star players, Cucurella, gets a goal, gets his recognition.
Moment.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and I think that's really, really great for him and also for the club as well. But they were phenomenal. I mean, their home form hasn't actually been that great in the league, of course.
No, Brighton, was it away a quarter form. Of their goals of the season were scored in this game? At home.
Dr. Manchin, I will see you, and please help yourself to a prescription pad on the way out.
Do you remember that Tony Pulis laugh when the Palace came back against Liverpool?
Yeah.
Just think about that now.
So, sorry, go on.
I was going to say, it's obviously Ten Hag is going to need to be backed. That's going to happen, you would assume.
Yeah, because they haven't backed any of the others, Jim.
No, but I mean, the pattern is if you manage Man United, you're going to be backed in the transfer market, right? It's just how it works.
Spend it better this time.
Indeed. But they have no choice now but to be incredibly patient with him, right? Because it's, in a way, is this
I wouldn't go as far as to say, is this a good thing? But like, there can be no doubt that like Man United are at the end of a cycle that wasn't actually particularly even that successful, and that it has to be a case of rip it up and start again when Ten Hag comes in. And that, in a way, is actually quite exciting, right?
Yeah, it's kind of like the...
That's feels a like... very positive spin, to use the word exciting.
But I think rock bottom can actually be... You know, it can put things into perspective, right? And this surely has to be that. Because they can't...
It's going to be their worst ever points total
in the Premier League now, right?
They could potentially finish the season with negative goal difference as well. I suppose it's not necessarily rock bottom, is it? They could go out of existence.
Yeah, I mean,
but relative to where they've been in the Premier League, yeah, of course, yeah. But the thing I find interesting, you said there, like it's like the end of this era where it hasn't even really been successful. It's like a knockoff Galactico era, isn't it?
Yeah.
You'd think Ten Hag would be backed, and I think I don't think a situation like this is instructive of how they'll approach him going forward, but what I do think is it's a kind of result and it's a kind of performance, not just this, but what United had over the last month or so, where I wonder how United fans will come out of it on the other side, because there'll be a lot of looking to Ten Hag as this saviour from the nadir. It's not going to happen quickly, because it can't really happen quickly, given the turnover of players is such that they'll have to rely on a lot of squad players. I don't think McTominay is a particularly good technically, a good technical defensive midfielder. I think he has a lot of shortcomings on that side, but he is someone who will have to play a lot next season. I can totally envisage him starting in 30 games in the league because he'll have to. There's not going to be a sudden rush of players coming in, because a lot of the players coming out of United will free up space on the wage budget. Financially, they don't have the kind of money to go on a massive shopping spree. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, but you kind of need to give Ten Hag the keys to all the rooms at United. Mm-hmm. You need to have him building up a base from the youth team and this, that and the other. But what I did see from this result, like in my circle of mates who are United fans, is almost like a real... with two different factions coming to the fore here. Some people on a real low ebb looking to Ten Hag as their saviour. Others, proclaiming their love for United and blindly and this, that and the other. And there was, just a discussion that I had with two mates, like one of them having the other for having a go at Manchester United.
Right.
For them both being fans. And it reminded me a bit of like the Arsenal fan TV complex. And obviously United have been there before. Mm. It's not a phenomenon that's new to them. But it's going to be quite a difficult time for how people consume Manchester United as a thing they love. Because that's what I found recently, to dip back to being a fan. Like, I was largely ambivalent to all of it. With Ralf Rangnick, there was a sense that, right, they're just going to, we're going to play out the rest of the season. We're going to try and build things here and there. Mm-hmm. And then I got to a stage where I was actually like, this is all quite relatively upsetting. And I think the worst thing was, Ralf Rangnick, his comments at the end of the game said that was result was a lot like Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's last result, which was a 4-1 defeat at Watford. And I think he didn't realise at the time, because he's been so open and honest about how things are going, but that's a damning indictment of what he's done at the club.
Yeah,
because they're in exactly the same position as just before you took over. Yeah. And while there were little green shoots of organisation and this, that and the other, he's kind of taking himself a bit more, become a bit more removed. He's basically playing the part of the auditor, being like, God, it's such a shambles in there. And it's like, yeah, but you're not an auditor, mate. You were in there on the training ground.
It's like a security guard going, oh, the robbery last night was like the one they had before they got me in to stop all this. Yeah, I mean, it just seems like the decision to bring in Rangnick just seems absolute madness now. It's just clearly not worked.
Yeah, it's easy to say with hindsight, isn't it? I think part of the problem, though, sort of looking from outside, is I know we sort of semi-joke about this, but Man United at the moment, they really seem like more of a brand than a club. And it's kind of...
Well, they do.
That's the only thing that's going to sustain them, though, through this.
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
But that is waning, though.
But part of that has to change. I think, like, you look at the treatment of Jesse Lingard as well. It's just that it doesn't feel like there's a joined-up sense of purpose there. And,
Yeah, I mean, you look at the Dutch coach Fred Rutten, who's coached PSV and Feyenoord and a number of other teams. He turned down the chance to be one of Ten Hag's assistants at Manchester United next season.
And I just quite like, he said, Erik ten Hag has asked me to be his assistant at Manchester United. I said no. I think he probably, the full quote was, I said, I'll think about it. Let me just watch this Brighton game first. And then I said no. But yeah, gentlemen, Chelsea drew 2-2 with Wolverhampton Wanderers at home, meaning that Arsenal are just that little bit closer to their London rivals. Yeah, Romelu Lukaku scored a brace, which is quite nice. His first league goals of 2022, which is quite mad as well. But then he doesn't play that much, so if you don't play him, he's not going to score that many goals. Or is it chicken or the egg? I'm not too sure. Connor Cody equalised in the seventh minute of stoppage time, which provided some scenes in the away end at Stamford Bridge, which was quite enjoyable. Did you see the new owners watching on?
Yeah.
That's the reality of the old football, lads.
Yeah, he looked very grumpy at full time, didn't he?
Yeah, well, which is understandable. I mean, the £4.25 billion deal is expected. How much was Newcastle sold for?
The 2.5 is 250 million, isn't it?
That's... Yes. And Newcastle was sold for what, 300 million or 350
Something
million?
Like that, yeah.
Over £4 billion for that football club.
It's worth a lot of money now. They're at the top table, aren't they?
I mean, I suppose officially they are the best team in the world at the moment, aren't they? So, you know, that's...
Got to pay a premium for
that,
haven't
you?
It costs more.
You won't believe
what I paid for a football club down in that London.
Yeah, true. Well, it's expected to be officially completed by the end of May, with the Premier League's owners and directors test still to be carried out. Don't worry, lads, you'll sail through it. But Chelsea have apparently received an assurance that the group will commit to owning the club for at least 10 years.
At least 10. That's a worry,
isn't it?
We spent £4.25 billion. Yeah. And we have to assure you, we will still be here in 10 years. Yeah.
So we reckon it'll probably take 11 to get that money back and start making a profit from it.
Maybe it's a sort of clever kind of ploy. It's like, look, we can sell this club to Mike Ashley at any point. just remember that if you start criticising us.
That's true. Very true, everybody. Right. Before we go. The last day in the EFL, of course. Sheffield United and Luton join Nottingham Forest and Huddersfield in the Championship playoffs. Forest and Huddersfield, drama at the end of that game. Thought they were going to change position, but they didn't. Sheffield United took full advantage of Fulham being on the beach. In fact, being in their beach huts, they didn't even bother going out to the beach.
Just go to the pool in their own stand.
True, very true. Yeah. I tell you what, if Mitrovic hadn't got the record, the goal scoring record, he would have been so pissed off in that game. None of you, I think you've got to realise that I need a goal here.
Yeah, I thought you said goal scoring then. It's like, is that most headers?
Yeah, that's how he talks about it, I think.
He has the skulls of his enemies.
Seems the type, yeah. Doesn't it?
What about that goal for Luton in their 1-0 win over Reading, eh? The keeper threw in front of himself and Harry Cornick just kept Brilliant. Up and said thanks very much. I think they would have been okay in the playoffs, but it looked like for a time that was going to be quite a crucial goal. But they're in there. Amazing story about Luton, of course. They're not promoted, because there's a narrative. It would be wonderful for Forest and their run. I mean, they've been out of the top league for so long. It would be great for Huddersfield to get back in there. Sheffield United, of course, recently. But then Luton's story is just so incredible that perhaps maybe the neutrals will be with them. But I don't want to put words in your neutral mouths, everybody. That would be very remiss of me. Middlesbrough were looking to break into the top six, but a police van was seen giving Middlesbrough fans a lift to a pub in Preston on Saturday, which was quite enjoyable. They then promptly lost 4-1 and had a man sent off. So I don't know if the police saw those fans again in perhaps a different capacity.
The footage
was incredible. Do you want to get back in the van?
Yeah. it's quite amazing to learn just how many people fit into a police van if you've seen the footage of them all getting out of it. It's like a clown car.
Oh, it's like Mary Poppins' handbag.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, they got them all in there.
The guy who gets out and just does the Drogba celebration. So good.
Forest Green Rovers won League Two with Exeter City in second. But it was all about who finished third in that league. So well, before we say that, we have to say well done, Forest Green. Well done, Exeter City. Well done, well done, well done, well done. You're not the story, though, unfortunately, in League Two, because there was incredible scenes at Bristol Rovers as they squeezed into third. I'm sure you've all seen as they started the day in fourth on 77 points, with plus 15 goal difference. Northampton Town were ahead of them in third on 77 points with plus 20 goal difference. You think, well, that should be enough. Especially when Northampton went 3-0 up against Barrow inside 20 minutes. Job done. Thanks very much. There we are. Now, they finished the first half at 3-1. Bristol Rovers were only 2-0 up. Bristol Rovers needed a huge swing, which they promptly got. They scored 5 in the second half, including 3 in the last 15 minutes. Now, the thing was, though, everyone understandably got so swept up in the excitement and the madness of it all that they invaded the pitch when the 7th went in, which... What, it wasn't over. There was still, 5 minutes to go, and there was still time in the other game involving Northampton. So it could have been like this enormous celebration, which would prove to be futile, which of course wasn't the case. The referee threatened to cancel the game.
Like, at one point,
Joey Barton, the manager, had to get on the microphone and plead with him to get back to the seats. I think their owner, his name escapes me, I think he was on there as well going, would you please get back in your seat? We're not there yet. We're crying out loud. It's like you're doing a lap of honour when there's still one lap to go in the race, you know. So absolutely extraordinary.
I was amazed at how everyone kept across the maths.
Oh, my goodness. It was something else. It was something. I mean... Do you remember that story, Jim, years ago? Police machine in Nigeria?
Yes.
Now, I'm not... Obviously, that's very, very different because they were...
By about 45 goals.
I think they won, like... Was it like...
It was absurd. It was...
Yeah, it was like 53-0. Like
yeah.
And the other two... It was them
and 52nd goal, they ran onto the pitch. We need one more.
Who could believe it?
Oh, dearie me. Jürgen Klopp's going, I don't like this time of football, you know, trying to defend.
Pep, you're always supporting them.
Yeah. I get just to go back to that fateful day in July 2013 in one of the Nigerian leagues. 4 clubs were involved in 2 playoff matches that ended 79-0 and 67-0. Plateau United Feeders, they won 79-0. Police Machine 167-0. Suspicions were aroused, but obviously none of that was going on at Bristol Rovers, who got a much more conservative 7-0 win. But it was enough.
Suspicions were aroused.
It's one of my favourite football stories of all time.
Yeah, it's incredible.
I think as Luke pointed out at the time, imagine what the opposition players are doing. That's the best thing.
There's a bit here.
Were they even there?
Yeah.
They were just getting into a police van and taken to a local pub.
Well, it is a police machine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, amazing. But yeah, so Bristol Rovers are up in the most extraordinary fashion. Well done to them. I mean, again, if you're Northampton Town, you're gutted.
Yeah.
Absolutely gutted.
Amazing things.
The worst thing about that is, because of the result, later that night when you're drowning your sorrows, you'd have to watch the highlights, wouldn't you?
Oh, you would.
You'd have to be like, how has this happened?
I need to understand.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. That's what football do to you.
That's
what it does, everybody. Well, there we are. Marvellous stuff at the end of the EFL. A little bit more from the playoffs, of course, but glorious. Well, thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. The Ramble, of course, will be in your ears tomorrow, so get involved. Thank you very much, Jim Campbell.
Thank you.
Thank you for Dusan Antaraja.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. See you soon.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined
a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.